Chapter 24. Spire Albion, Havel Landing. Raoul found the view from atop the foremost of the two ship trees to be less exciting than he had assumed it would be. Oh, he could see over the ship itself well enough, though based upon his understanding of the vessel's name, as if it needed one, he felt that its master should have been thanking Katz for the obvious inspiration, at the very least. Perhaps there was an arrangement to be reached here. Certainly, if they named something after Katz, even the dimmest of humans must understand that there was recompense to be discussed. The vessel itself had proved to be interesting. He had seen Little Mouse safely ensconced in a small room with a cup of hot drink, which tasted terrible, but which she insisted upon having frequently in any case. After that, he had gone exploring. There were many hallways and rooms upon Predator, as well as a number of things that needed chasing and catching. Probably not eating, though, unless he was truly hungry. Raoul felt sure that Bridget's fragile feelings would be crushed if he denied her the pleasure of sharing her meat with him. There was certainly a place for a cat on a construct such as this, provided he didn't mind the company. Once he had inspected the vessel, he had promptly climbed the ship tree. But the only things of interest to be seen from there were the humans moving about the ship, and honestly, it would be a long and dull day indeed before they proved more than momentarily interesting. A smaller ship, possibly also bearing a name inspired by his people, came alongside Predator. A human of significantly less clumsiness than most came aboard, a small male, and despite its diminutive stature, it moved with a warrior's confidence and wore a very large and fine hat. Such hats often signified humans who considered themselves important, which was adorable for the first few moments and trying ever after. The visitor had, however, entered the ship as if waiting to be permitted on another's territory, which was the proper way to do things. Raoul had begun to approve of the human, Grim, who had thus far acted with less than utter incompetence in every aspect of his life. If Grim was able to command such respect even from humans with very large hats, he might make suitable help, and even humans were wise enough to realize that good help was the most elusive of quarries. Raoul followed the conversation Grim had with the visitor. It seemed largely to be concerned with inexplicable human madness, though he understood the anger and raised voices that signified what might have been a bloodletting. As so often happened with the fickle beasts, it did not develop into a proper battle, and the visitor left in apparent defeat. Shortly after that, there was some activity between the tall second-in-command and a human operating several long levers with coloured cloth on the ends. They were apparently signals of some kind, because the humans peered down at something below them for a time after their flags waggled. What they saw seemed to satisfy them. The ship, which had been motionless, finally descended toward a wooden platform that, apart from minor details, looked almost precisely like the one they had just left. Raoul found that disappointing. It seemed a great deal of trouble for him to spend half a lifetime bored up a ship tree to gain very little in the way of an interesting change of environment. But such things were to be expected when dealing with humans. He would remain patient until they fumbled past such foolishness. Was he not, after all, a cat? He descended the ship tree. It was rather less enjoyable than the climb had been. It was an activity better suited to humans and their spidery fingers. He would have to see to it that there was a human prepared to climb up and carry him down with proper dignity next time. Perhaps it would be an opportunity to test the capability of human Benedict. Clearly, he was unworthy to be the mate of Little Mouse, but perhaps with the right guidance, some kind of adequacy could be nurtured. Raoul returned to the little room where Little Mouse and her companions were drinking their stinking water, and leapt up to grip the handle upon its door, hanging from it long enough to make it come open. Then he prowled in and shut the door again with a press of his shoulders. The human, Gwendolen, blinked at him several times and then said, "When on earth did he leave? How did he leave?" Little Mouse nodded at him and said to human Gwendolen, "He is a cat, Miss Lancaster. Asking such questions is an exercise in futility." Raoul leapt up onto Little Mouse's lap and nuzzled her cheek affectionately. He liked Little Mouse. She was far less stupid than most humans.
"The ship is landing," he told her. "We should go see what this new Habble looks like at once."
He waited for Little Mouse to repeat what he had said to the other humans. Honestly, he sometimes felt that humans simply had to be deliberately obtuse. What was so difficult about understanding civilized and excellently enunciated speech? His father had often opined that, in fact, humans really were exactly as foolish and helpless as they seemed, or that life was simpler if one assumed it to be true at any rate. But Raoul was not yet sure. A moment later, an acutely unpleasant sound of metal striking metal sliced across the deck. It was one of those human noises that had been, he felt sure, created for no purpose whatsoever but to annoy cats. The sound did seem to galvanize the humans, though. Little Mouse and her companions rose and began fussing about, the way humans often did. The humans who operated the ship did the same, and after a pointless delay for the humans to collect all their toys and keepsakes, he was finally able to take his rightful place in Little Mouse's arms and herd them all in the proper direction. They descended from the ship onto a wooden platform that seemed to simply hang in open air from the side of the spire. He had to give humans credit where it was due. They did seem to have a knack for building interesting places for cats to explore. They walked over the creaking wooden planks, their steps echoing.
"Little Mouse," he said, "if the human platform fails, will we not fall to the surface?" He could hear her heart speed up, and her hands become somewhat clammy against his fur.
"Nonsense! I'm certain it will do no such thing."
But she began to walk slightly faster. Little Mouse and her companions joined a rather large herd of humans who were standing around doing nothing interesting or profitable. They stayed there interminably, only occasionally taking a step forward. Honestly, was it any wonder their clan chief had finally begged Raoul's father for the guidance and support of the Silent Paws? At last they funneled through a relatively tiny opening in the wall of the spire, along with a column of similarly placid humanity, and took their turn wasting even more time by talking to armed humans who were not even so important as to have large hats. And only after all of that indecipherable human ritual was complete to their satisfaction did they enter Habble Landing. Raoul reminded himself that cats were eternally patient, and that he would not simply explode if he did not fling himself from Little Mouse's arms and go exploring. Which was not to say that he could not do so if he wished, because cats were also their own masters. He decided that his patience was practically legendary, which was fortunate for Little Mouse, or Raoul would already have taken care of this problem, or mystery, or whatever it was, while she was still milling about in the line to talk to the armed humans at the entrance to Habble Landing, thus robbing her of the glory of success. Though, now that he thought about it, he was the most important member of the party. Any glory gained was rightfully his in any case. He decided to tolerate the situation for the present, but if the humans became unmanageable, he might have to take steps, and who could blame him? Not even his father would assert that it was practical to manage 5 humans. It was a well-known fact that humans became more addled than usual when running in herds. Habble Landing was fascinating. For one thing, the ceiling was only half the height of the other Habbles he'd seen. It was still far above even Little Mouse's head, but the more enclosed space reminded him of the ducts and ventilation tunnels that were traditionally the territory of his people. And it was thick with humanity. Habble Morning was considered to be a well-populated Habble, but Havel Landing absolutely teemed with people by comparison. Hundreds and hundreds of them were coming and going through the hole in the spire wall. Dozens of humans who were selling trinkets and keepsakes, all of which Little Mouse would say were absolute necessities for a human, were lined up along the walls in neatly arranged stalls. And this wasn't even the market area. Voices filled the air, so many of them that it was impossible to pick out a specific conversation. Taken as a whole, the voices created a low murmur that sounded a bit like the sighing of air through a junction point in the vents. Scents were thick, too. Foul smells that always came with humanity. Savory smells of various foods. And absolutely fascinating scents he could not identify.
"Goodness," human Gwendolyn was saying. "Have you ever seen so many people coming and going?"
"It would be a lovely setting for slipping an enemy agent into the spire," human Benedict agreed. Human Folly was apparently frightened of something, though she was in no danger that Raoul could see. Her heart beat very quickly, and she stank of nerves strung tight. She kept her eyes on the floor and stayed within inches of the senior male of the group, Master Ferris. The older man's eyes were almost closed, as if he wanted an observer to think he was nearly sleeping. But Raoul could see them flicking around in an almost feline fashion, taking in the sights just as he was. "Master Ferris?" human Gwendolyn asked. "Where should we go, sir?"
"Hm?"
Ferris said.
"What's that?"
"Lodging, perhaps,"
Little Mouse suggested.
"Ah, excellent, yes."
He glanced back at human Benedict.
"Young man, do you know of a decent inn?"
"I believe there are a great many of them in the Habble, but I stayed at the guardhouse while I was here," human Benedict said in an apologetic tone. "I do know that we should be able to hire a runner who can assist us." Human Gwendolyn frowned.
"Should we not stay there as well? This is an official inquisition for the Spyrarch, after all." "We can't make it official, and we can't stay at the guardhouse," Little Mouse said. "If there is a traitor amongst the guard, and we march in and announce our intentions, we might as well blow trumpets everywhere we go."
"Quite right," Master Ferris said. "Quite right. A runner, then?"
Human Gwendolyn seemed to take that as a command. She nodded and strode off through the crowd. Raoul waited with infinite patience. There were many things to see and smell. One human vendor had a great many little creatures in little cages. Some of them had wings, and some scales, and some fur. Raoul managed to sort out scents to their owners and studied them thoughtfully. Then a gentle stir and shift in the direction of the ventilated air announced the arrival of afternoon, as the sun began to warm the other side of the spire, and brought with it a deliriously savoury scent of cooking meat. Raoul whipped his head to one side to stare in the direction from which the scent came, and noted, as he did, that human Benedict had wit enough to smell it too, and was showing exactly the same interest. The human's stomach made growling, grumbling sounds. Human Gwendolyn returned shortly, in the company of a rather scrawny little human kit. The little human's hair was a mess, its face was dirty, its clothing ragged, and Raoul, who found humans drearily like one another most of the time, could not tell whether the apparent runner was male or female. "This is Grady," human Gwendolyn announced. "He has graciously consented to guide us to an inn."
"Aye, aye," said the little human. "Just come with me, ladies and gents, and we'll get you squared away with a clean bed and a hot meal."
"Good, good," said the oldest human. "Proceed."
"Yes, sir,"
said the little human.
"Right this way."
They followed the little human from the gallery that led to the shipyard and into a side tunnel, where he produced a medium-sized lumen crystal and made everyone utterly blind to anything happening more than a few paces away. Humans were inconsiderate that way. Raoul could see perfectly well, after all. It was hardly his fault if humans couldn't tell the difference between mere dimness and true darkness. Which was ironic, because they were, as a whole, among the dimmest creatures he knew. They walked a short way through the side tunnel, and then exited into a long, narrow street, where the human buildings crowded in close on every side, and thrust up from the floor all the way to the ceiling in many cases. But the building heights were uneven and jagged overall, like so many broken teeth. The street was only dimly lit, and there were considerably fewer humans walking along it than they had seen near the shipyard. Raoul found that inconsistent. The presence of danger brushed along his fur as the little human led Little Mouse and her companions down the street, and Raoul found himself gathering and releasing his muscles. He could not pinpoint any particular threat, and yet Little Mouse, wise enough to look to a cat for guidance, noticed Raoul's reaction almost immediately. Her own posture became tenser, her eyes flicking around, searching for any threat just as Raoul did. Suddenly, Raoul heard soft footfalls behind them, and he turned his ears quickly to listen in that direction.
"Little Mouse,"
he said quietly,
"we are being hunted. Behind us."
She looked down at him but did not swivel her head to look over her shoulder toward their pursuers. Excellent. Such a gesture would have alerted the hunters to the fact that their prey had sensed them. Little Mouse was so clever, for a human, of course.
"Benedict,"
Little Mouse said quietly,
"Raoul thinks someone is following us."
Human Benedict frowned at her but did not ask questions. Instead, Raoul saw his nostrils flare, and he began to use his eyes, looking around him, though he did not turn his head.
"Damn,"
Human Benedict said a moment later. He took a step forward, drawing even with Master Ferris, and tapped Human Gwendolyn on the shoulder. She turned to look up at him, but didn't stop walking. Human Benedict leaned down to speak quietly to her.
"Cuz, I'm afraid we've been marked."
Human Gwendolyn frowned.
"Marked?"
She looked down at herself.
"Did someone put something on my dress?"
Human Benedict let out a breath through his teeth.
"Marked, cuz, as prey. We're being paced and followed."
"By whom?"
"Footpads, most likely,"
Human Benedict replied.
"There are several gangs that operate in Habble Landing."
Human Gwendolyn narrowed her eyes.
"I see. And which person has marked us specifically?"
"To your left," Human Benedict said, "about 10 feet behind us. Dark brown coat, black hair, about 20. He's keeping track of us by watching our reflections in windows as we pass them. And there's another one, ahead of us, on the right, in that slouchy hat."
"I see,"
she replied.
"What is the usual course of action for dealing with such things?"
"Avoid them."
"We've already failed at that,"
Human Gwendolyn said, her tone irritated. "What else?" Human Benedict sounded a bit flustered.
"Cuz, how should I know? I've never been marked by footpads before."
She considered that and nodded.
"I see."
Then, without hesitating for more than the time it took to take a step, Human Gwendolyn turned, raised her gauntlet, and discharged it. An almost invisible bolt of force and heat howled through the air and slammed into the stone wall of a building's front side, not 2 feet from the head of the footpad pacing them from behind. The light made Raoul duck his head to shield his eyes, and the force of the blast threw chips of stone from the wall, sending them skittering around the street. The footpad, and perhaps a dozen other humans who happened to be nearby, let out a shriek and flinched back, staring at the smoking, scorched gouge in the stone. He lost his balance and fell to the ground and onto his rear. The entire street, in fact, froze in its tracks, everyone staring at little Human Gwendolyn. She stepped toward the footpad, her gauntlet's crystal still glowing in her palm, and raised her voice to a pitch and volume that would carry it to the entire street. She pointed the forefinger of her right hand at the stunned footpad and said, her voice hard, "You!" The man just stared at her. "Run home!" Human Gwendolyn said, "Do it now, and inform your masters that we are not prey." Her words echoed around the stone building fronts for a few seconds. Then the footpad's mouth twitched a couple of times. He gave a jerking, frantic nod, scrambled to his feet, and dashed away down the street and out of sight. Raoul turned his eyes back to Human Gwendolyn, impressed. That was precisely how one should deal with a would-be predator. Human Gwendolyn's instincts and response had been practically non-incompetent. "Maker of the path," Human Benedict swore beneath his breath. "'Cause you just discharged a gauntlet on a crowded street."
"And stopped us from being attacked by thugs," Human Gwendolyn replied. "No one was hurt." "Honestly, cuz, we have no time for this sort of nonsense."
She took a step forward and knelt down to stare in the eye the little human who had led them there.
"Grady,"
she said in a sweet tone,
"why did you bring us here to be attacked?"
"I didn't," the little human said, his face bloodless. "I wouldn't! I won't, miss!"
"You just happened to bring us down a crowded chute full of men seeking targets to mug. Is that what you want me to believe?"
The little human swallowed. Then he said,
"I know another inn, miss, right by the gallery out in the open. I could take you there if it pleases you."
"Fool me once, shame on you," Gwendolyn said. "Fool me twice, and I may feel inclined to blast you purely on principle."
The little human stared at her, agog.
"Boo!"
Gwendolyn shouted and stamped her foot. Grady turned and sprinted off. "Are you certain you don't want to blast the ground at his feet as he runs away?" Benedict asked, his voice dry.
"Don't be tiresome, Benny,"
Gwendolyn replied.
"If we can't trust one runner, we can't trust any of them. There's no guarantee that the next time it might not be Auroran agents instead of simple thieves waiting for us. Present me with options."
Benedict frowned for a moment and then shrugged.
"There's one place we can go where I feel certain we can at least get honest guidance, if nothing else."
"Excellent," Gwendolyn said. "Let us proceed."
"This way," Benedict said, and they started walking again. After a moment or two, Human Benedict turned to look directly at Raoul.
"Thank you," he said.
Raoul yawned, feeling rather pleased with himself for having saved his humans from footpads, and said,
"It is what I do."